As a child, Otha Ellis Bates McDaniel taught himself to play guitar, but he never found one he liked, so he built his own. Soon after, his rectangular-shaped axe with an old TV dial for a volume knob could be heard on radios everywhere as he launched the beat heard round the world. He was Bo Diddley. His handmade guitar is at the Hard Rock Cafe in Times Square. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history are at Hard Rock Cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
And now, Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
It's time for your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage. This is the Mighty Manfred. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. My guest today is Wild Evil, frontman and lead vocalist in Wild Evil and the Trash Bones, a 60s-style garage rock band from Vienna, Austria. Wild Evil is sort of a Screaming Lord Sutch-style character, and he and the band have followed up their 2017 album, Digging My Grave, with a new single, Outlaw. And its B-side, Leave Me Alone, is a recent coolest song in the world. Let's give some of that a listen now, and then I'll be back with Wild Evil for your Coolest Conversations podcast in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Here for today's Coolest Conversations, and it's going to be a wild one. I am joined today by none other than Wild Evil of Wild Evil and the Trash Bones, the garage rock and roll band from Vienna, Austria. Hello, Evil. How are you?
Hey, Manfred. I'm doing fine. And how are you?
I am doing okay. Very excited to talk to you today. You know, we've met each other a couple of times over the years. I think the first time you were in the Staggers, but then we re-met just maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago now at a garage rock festival in Hamburg, Germany, Garageville. And as we walked up to one another, and I thought this was so great, we were introduced and you put out your hand and you said, "Hello, Manfred. I'm Evil." I just thought that was so cool.
That comes with his name, yeah.
Well, for the last several weeks, when I'm speaking with people, I ask them how they're doing in these, you know, coronavirus days, COVID-19 days, and for the most part, people are doing okay. How are you doing?
Actually, I'm doing very good. I'm doing fine because I'm not that social normally anyway. So this was perfect for me, actually. Of course, it's a big tragedy for many people. But for me personally, I enjoyed it a little bit, not having to see anyone, like not to be social. I was creative. Also with the band, we did a song like many of the bands did. You know, we recorded at home something and we called that song Virus. But now, after about 2 months, I'm happy when it's over again.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's enough. Definitely.
Wow. So how does this affect you? You can't play shows still. How are you affected financially? What else do you do for work?
I'm a garden and landscape designer.
Ah, okay.
And actually, the first time I'm doing this in 7 years now. This month is the first time I do it full time, because normally I only did this part time, because during these 2 months, all the people were sitting at home watching at their ugly gardens. And now everybody wants their garden as quick as possible to look fancy and pretty, you know, so they have their own little paradise at home for cases like this, you know. So now I'm working full time. For me, if this came out good, if I would make a living out of the band, it would have been terrible, obviously.
Right.
All the shows are gone and... But everybody in the Trash Bones has a regular job, so we could survive. It's not easy to live off garage punk in Austria, or maybe anywhere on this planet. I don't know.
Well, you know, there are thousands of garage rock fans, thousands. And well, when you sold your soul to the garage rock and roll devil, what shape did he take?
When did I sell my soul? Maybe it started as a kid when I was listening to the records of my parents.
Oh.
And they had the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and Tommy James and the Shondells at Manfred Mann and all these things in the record collection. And this is when I first got in contact with this kind of music.
It's about pretty,
5 or 6 years old or something.
So they had this really cool record collection, it sounds. Was there growing up a lot of music in the home outside of that? Were they buying new records? Or how were you exposed to more rock and roll stuff?
I think it was mostly my mom. She was into this kind of music. But in the household, only my brother was a musician. He used to play guitar and listen to Joan Jett really loud all the time. And this also got me a little bit in the right direction. He also had some Ramones records and stuff. This is when I was already a teenager, when I got into this kind of music. My first influence was really the Beatles, Rolling Stones, and Tommy James and the Shondells from the record collection of my mom and dad. And they just bought them back then. They bought them new.
And so how specifically, like with 60s garage rock stuff, you already had this foundation of sort of British Invasion, what we would call British Invasion era music. But what got you into listening to like 60s garage punk kind of things?
Like this really back from the grave style music. I first heard it, I think, when I was about 18. So actually quite late. It was in Graz at a party where I DJed together with another DJ. I don't know his DJ name anymore. I only know that this guy's name was Flo, like Florian. And he spun lots of tunes from this Back from the Grave compilations. And this is where I first heard all these unknowns and all this unknown good music. And I really got interested and I started searching for it. And this is how I got into it. Yeah. And then about 3 years later, when I was about 21 years old, I started making this kind of music myself.
So before you got trashed with the Trash Bones, you were fronting another garage rock band called the Staggers. Did you call yourself Wild Evil when you fronted the Staggers?
Yeah, exactly. And Wild Evil actually comes from DJ Evil Knievel. This was my DJ name first. And then when I got in the band, this changed into Wild Evil. So the name actually comes from Evil Knievel.
Right. I've noticed now your stage persona has changed a little bit because you're still Wild Evil, but you know, you've got the top hat and coat and tails, kind of reminiscent, sort of like a Screaming Lord Sutch sort of character. How did that develop? Can you tell us the evolution or evolution of evil?
Yeah, this actually came with our second album, which is called Digging My Grave. This is also a song on the album. It's called Digging My Grave. And I thought it would fit together if I would appear like a grave digger or something, you know? So this is how this grave digging Wild Evil appeared all of a sudden. Before, we were more like dressed in leather jackets and bones necklaces and stuff like that. So maybe with the next album, another evilness.
Very cool, yeah. Digging My Grave, that's a killer song. That was a former coolest song of the week from a couple years back. But the new single now is Outlaw. It's out on Chiputa Records, and it's B-side, Leave Me Alone, that's our coolest song in the world this week. It's a cover of a tune done first by the Meteors. I didn't know this. I looked it up and saw, wow, the Meteors did this originally and called themselves the Clapham South Escalators. How did you come to this tune? How did you find out about this song, Leave Me Alone?
It was about in 2017 when I went to a party of my friend Phil Vegas. He had some music going on in the background, and all of a sudden this song came up. And then Leave Me Alone and the lyrics and everything, this fits perfect. This fits perfect to the Trash Bones. This is me, actually. What is this? And then I had to ask Phil, what is this? And he told me it's actually the meteors, but they called them Clapham South Escalators for 1/7-inch with about 3 garage rock songs on it. And this is an original one written by Peter Paul Fennec, and I think in 1981. Yeah, and it fitted so perfect, we had to make a cover version of it.
Very cool. Well, I know the last album, Digging My Grave, we've mentioned that a couple of times. Digging My Grave, you recorded at Living Room Sounds with Roman Owl and was mastered by Jim Diamond. When and where did you record the new single?
We recorded this one a little bit outside of Vienna in a fully analog studio, which is called Passion Sound Studios. And we recorded this one in March 2018. Together with Dennis Rux. He's a guy from Hamburg, and he traveled to Vienna and just rented this analog recording studio a little bit outside of Vienna. And he said, hey, I'm here. Does any band need recording sessions? And so he had a girlfriend in Vienna, so he just rented this place for about, I think, 2 weeks, and squeezed in as many bands for recording in 2 weeks. And we took 4 days for 4 songs, or was it 2 days? I can't really remember anymore. Yeah, we recorded it at the Passion Sound Studios, and it was mixed at the Yeah Yeah Studios, which is also owned by Dennis Rux in Hamburg. Yeah, that's it.
You've played the U.S. a couple of times now. When and where did you play here stateside?
We played. First time when I played in the USA was in 2007 in New York at the Cave Stomp with the Staggers back then. This was my first time in the USA. And then there was a long break. And then in 2018, I think it was, right?
Yeah.
We met Manfred. It was 2018, right? Yeah, in 2018, I came back with the Trash Bones, and we were making a little tour in California, Nevada, and Arizona.
So yeah. when the Woggles have played in Europe, you know, it's very unusual. Well, first of all, it's very unusual in the U.S. that promoters or bookers would ever provide accommodations for a band on tour in the U.S. That was almost never what happened. But in Europe, that's quite common. And so the first time we were in Europe, we're like, oh, my God, you know, they're giving us hotels every night. We couldn't believe it. So that was shocking to us, but shocking in a good way. So when you came and did your real first tour with Wild Evil and the Trash Bones here, what were some of the things that were shocking to you about touring in the U.S., good or bad?
Yeah, I found out why all the American bands love to tour in Europe, definitely. The bad things maybe were, as you said, no accommodation at all, nowhere, you know, at least no paid one. So no hotels or anything, you know. This is what I was absolutely not used to, because in Europe you have your hotel or your accommodation everywhere. But the good side of it was that the people, they are so friendly, and the audience kind of seems to know, or I don't know what why they are so open. We were sleeping in private places all the time. We only had to take a motel once. So people from the audience were just inviting us to their homes, and we could see how they live and get more a private view of the USA than only staying in motels. So this was quite a good thing, I think. And very nice of the people. I didn't expect that, actually. And the money was also really bad. So we also were happy that we could stay private. And otherwise, it would have been really disastrous, this tour. Because, yeah, I was feeling like a little bit like a beginner again. But it also was our first time, so maybe my expectations were a little bit too high. What can I say? The whole thing was just a road trip. We had lots of fun. Yeah, we also stayed in some very crazy places. A guy close to Sacramento invited us to his home. And he said, hey, I have to go home quickly to clean up a little bit. And you just come after in about 45 minutes or something. So we were loading the van, talking a little bit to the people, and then we were driving into the middle of nowhere to a crossing where he said he's going to pick us up or something. So Michelle, our driver, called him. We are there at this crossing. It was nothing anymore. It was a little bit almost like, I don't know, desert, bushes, backwoods, or how you call it. And all of a sudden, he appeared in his car, and then we drove off. It was off-road. There was no paved road anymore. And we were driving through its bushes and everything. It was dark, and there was no lights, no nothing. I thought I already had a little bit the feeling of Rocky Horror Picture Shows kind of like, or maybe even Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I was hoping not to wake up as a stew or something the next day, you know, like in a cookout, that he makes a cookout out of us or something, you know. Oh, shit. And then we went into his house, which was in the middle of nowhere, and it was full. It was full of stuff. I have never seen anything like this in my whole life. It was like, it was messy.
Full of what kind of stuff?
Luckily, it was cool stuff. It was lots of amps and double basses, like Fender amps, double basses, magazines, maybe a little bit of trash. You had a really hard time to see the cool things because of all the things. And I found out that 45 minutes that he was there before us, he used to move some stuff to the side, so we had a little path to a couch where two of us could sleep on. Oh, it was really, we went out to the van, we got all the beers inside that we had, we drank them all, and then everything was good.
Well, he liked to collect things, and that night he was collecting a band.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And we are still alive.
Yes, but, thankfully.
And he was really nice. I will never forget this. You know, if I would have stayed in a motel, I wouldn't have any story like this to tell.
Right. Well, now let's think here. You've done artwork for some of your releases, I think. Maybe Digging My Grave, you did the artwork for that, right?
Exactly.
Right. But now the new single, you did not do the artwork for that. Who did that?
It's a guy from Brighton called Chris Sigmoore. And he's a friend from Brighton, and actually Chaputa Records, they hired him without me knowing that he will do the cover artwork. So it was a great surprise, because he also set up two shows for us in Brighton some years ago together with Neil Sixsmith. They have a club night running called Stay Sick. Chris Sigmoore is also a graphic artwork designer, and he did it.
Very cool. So mentioning your artwork, do you do other artwork for other graphic sort of stuff for other bands, or is it primarily just your own band and your own artwork?
Actually, I do artwork for other bands. I did it in the past and I still do it, but nowadays I find it hard to start drawing. I don't know why. Maybe it's a little, how you call it, when you...
Writer's block or artist's block?
Yeah. Something like that, maybe. You know, once I start drawing, then it's okay, but I have to just start. Normally, I do graphic artworks and drawings for everybody who wants me to, and that I think it fits.
So you mentioned when you came stateside with Wild Eve and the Trash Bones, you guys were touring out west. You got married in Las Vegas a couple of years ago, right? And was there like an Elvis did the proceedings?
Of course. Who else? Of course. Yeah, it was great fun. Yeah, definitely.
What made you think to go to Vegas to get married?
It actually, my wife came up with this idea. I have this in my toilet. I have this little carpet in front of my toilet in the shape of the Vegas sign, which says, "Welcome to Las Vegas." It's laying there. So maybe at one point she was sitting on the toilet looking at it. And then it came to her mind, why don't we get married in Vegas? Maybe this might be it. And by the way, this Vegas floor mat, I bought it at the Trash and Vaudeville in New York City back then, where sadly Jimmy Webb died recently.
That's right.
Yeah. So this is my memory also of Jimmy Webb a little bit recently.
Right. So you, at some point, I think you told me you had some sort of Ron Jeremy story that you guys were visiting L.A. and maybe at the Rainbow Room, you ran into Ron Jeremy.
Yeah, he seems to live there or something. Yeah, I met him twice already there. But when we were on our way to Vegas to get married, we flew over to Los Angeles. And when we arrived in Los Angeles the first night, it was our first time in Los Angeles. We directly went to the Rainbow Bar, and who was standing there? Ron Jeremy. I went up to Ron. Hey, Ron, can we make a picture together? And he said, of course. Why are you, what are you guys doing here? And I said to him, we're getting married in Vegas. And then he said to me, oh, for sure you're going to have a great time. Maybe I should have asked him if he wants to be my best man or something. Yeah, and then like 2 years later, we went to the Rainbow again, and he was there again. Yeah, but this time I didn't talk to him.
Oh, so we have played shows together, and we did so last fall, and you were a very dynamic front man. And so the Woggles, you know, were this particular show we were playing before you guys. And so we wanted to put on a good show as good as we could. And I felt really great about that. And I guess this was in Vienna. And then I was watching you guys play, and there was this sort of balcony above the stage, and it's sort of in a U shape, so you can stand up on the balcony, you can look down to the stages right below you. And I was up there and was watching and enjoying the show, and someone came over to me and like tapped on my shoulder and wanted me to sign something. So I looked away just for, you know, however long it took to sign my name, so 30 seconds. And then when I turned back around, you were gone. You weren't there on the stage. And I was looking around on the stage, and all these people are, they're sort of wildly jumping around. It's like, well, where'd he go? Did he go out into the audience? And then I turned to the right, and no, you had actually climbed up onto the balcony. And now you were up on the balcony at the same level that I was, and you were up on a table up top there, wailing around and singing. Then you climbed, hung yourself off the edge of the balcony. There was a guy came up below you, and you sort of like dropped down onto his shoulders, and then he carried you around. And I thought, wow, you know, I was just completely, completely blown away. I'd like to hear you tell me, when you're playing live, what is it you're trying to do? You're trying to put on a show, you're trying to engage people. What is the purpose of doing a live rock and roll show? What are you trying to do when you're performing?
It just comes out naturally. I have no idea why I always do all these things. It just comes out naturally. Maybe it has something to do with the adrenaline that it pushed me up to the balcony. I don't know. And sometimes I don't understand on the next day anymore how actually did I get up there. But somehow strange things happen. I like to make a happening. It must be entertaining, maybe a little bit dangerous. Maybe when I saw the Cramps in 2003 live, maybe this was what twisted my mind. I don't know. But I think it must be something outrageous, something thrilling. And people are paying for a show and or a performance. I don't know. It's just rock and roll.
Yeah, it's only rock and roll, but I like it.
Exactly.
Well, the A-side to the new single is called Outlaw, and you've got a line in there about being a loser, not fitting in, also being clad in black leather, being a wild one. So I'm guessing those are nods to biker movies like Born Loser and The Wild One. Who wrote that song?
I wrote the lyrics, and we did the music. We did all together in the rehearsal room. Like, you know, we come together and we play, and something's coming out of somebody, and the other one also plays something, and then we kind of mix it together. And yeah, we created it in the rehearsal room, and I wrote the lyrics to it.
Very cool. Do you happen to ride motorcycles?
Yeah, since about 3 years, I'm riding motorcycles now.
Yeah, what kind? Do you have a motorcycle now?
Yeah, yeah. I'm a bit ashamed to say it. yeah, it's a Honda Shadow, a VT600, but it's customized. So
well, yeah.
Now it's cool.
Absolutely. Well, Evil, thanks so much for talking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
No problem. Hey, thanks for contacting me and talking with me as well.
Right. Well, we're going to take a listen now to the singles A-side. Here is Wild Evil and the Trash Bones with Outlaw in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
That was Outlaw from Wild Evil and the Trash Bones. A-side to their new single out on Chaputa Records, a label from Portugal. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to Wild Evil for speaking with me today. Thanks also to Olivia Callahan for producing our segment. And be sure and join me next week when I get the chance to chat with Danita Sparks, one of the vocalists and guitarists in L7. We'll be talking about their new single, Fake Friends, out on Blackheart Records. That's your next week's Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage.
As a child, Otha Ellis Bates McDaniel taught himself to play guitar, but he never found one he liked, so he built his own. Soon after, his rectangular-shaped axe with an old TV dial for a volume knob could be heard on radios everywhere as he launched the beat heard round the world. He was Bo Diddley. His handmade guitar is at the Hard Rock Cafe, Times Square. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history are at Hard Rock Cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com. Don't let it slide, baby, diamond ring.